Today's daf is Menachas Daf Pei Ches, and we are at the sixth wide line of Daf Pei Ches Amid Beis. Amar Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yehuda said in the name of the Amora Rav Sheshes, Ner Sheb Mikdash, the Neiros, the lamps of the Menorah. So that's the part of the Menorah where the fire was. Shel Prakim Hav. Was attached to the menorah itself, but at the same time was flexible in the sense that when the kohen came to be mate of the neiros to clean out the wicks and the oil from the day before, he was able to bend the lamps towards him so that it would be easier for him to clean it. Now, we're all familiar that the menorah was miksha. It was made out of one piece of solid gold. Rav Sheshes was saying that when we say that the menorah was made up of one piece of solid gold, it means the neiros as well. They too were included in what the Torah meant when it said that the menorah had to be miksha. But at the same time, you were able to bend those parts of the menorah, and it was necessary to bend it to be able to properly be made of the neiros. And the Gemara explains, Kasova kiksev kikoro miksha, a menorah veneiros eoksev. That when the Torah says kikar, when the Torah says miksha, when the Torah describes the menorah, that it has to be made up of one piece of solid gold that weighs a kikar, it doesn't just mean the base of the menorah, but it means the entire menorah. It means the neiros as well. And keep it by your hatava, it means that you have to be able to clean the neiros. Ilav de prakim havi. If it's part would not have the ability to bend backward and forward, if they wouldn't be flexible, it'd be very difficult to properly clean it. Thus, Rav Sheshes said, it must be that the ner sheb mikdash shall prokim ha. I'll ask you a kasha. From a brayse, ketzad oisa, how was the kohen made of the neiros? Misalkon. He would remove the neiros, physically remove the neiros from the menorah, umanichan ba'oil, he would leave them in the oil moed, umikanchem besvayg, he would clean them with a svayg, v'noisim Hashem, and then he would repeat, and he would do it all over again. Why is this a kasha Rav Sheshes? Because the Braisa says mefurish that the neiros were able to be removed. Bal karchach, when it says in the Torah that the menorah had to be miksha, it doesn't mean to include the neiros. It means the base of the menorah. But as it relates to the arms of the menorah, what the Gemara refers to as the neiros, that's something you would be able to remove. So how could Rav Sheshes and Amora say something that contradicts a Braisa? So the Gemara says, the reason Rav Sheshes can say something that's inconsistent with the Braisa is because he has a tana de misayele. There's another braisa that supports Rav Sheshes. So granted, there's a braisa not like Rav Sheshes, but there's also a braisa that supports Rav Sheshes. Time to learn to the braisa. Chachamim say that it's not true. They never removed the neiros from the menorah. Now the Gemara says, "Lehayu mezizin noisam im koyma." Sounds like if they wanted to, they could have removed it. It's just that they did it. Should we infer from the lashon of the Chachamim, "Lehayu mezizin"? They didn't do it. As if to say, if they wanted to do it, they could have done it. Why not? So Rashi explains, because if it would have been possible to remove it, the Chachamim would have never said they didn't do it. There's no chumrah in not removing the neiros from the menorah. To the contrary, the chumrah would be to remove the neiros from the menorah so that you should be able to do the hatavas haneiros properly. So why would the Chachamim say, lo yhoyu mazizin oisam im kaima? So the Gemara edits the braisa. Ele'ema lo yhoysa zazam im kaima. What it must mean is that you could not remove it. The bottom line is that even though it's true, there's a braisa that says, how is the hatavas haneiros done? Misalka, and they would remove the neiros. But at the same time, there's also a chachamim that says, that you couldn't remove it. A shaila, whether or not the neiros were included in what the Torah meant when it said miksha. The bottom line is, Rav Sheshes was clearly paskining, like one of these tanoim, the tanoim that hold that the neiros had to be part of the miksha that was the menorah. If that's the case, how did they do atavas haneiros? So that was Rav Sheshes' chiddush al prakimai. So it was flexible. Thus, you were able to bend the neiros so that the kohen would be able to properly do the hatavas. Says the Gorman Chacham, who are the Chacham that hold that you couldn't remove the neiros from the menorah? Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Tzadik, who the Tanya learned to the Brayso, Rabbi Tzadik, Goyim, came in Tashazov, Hayola al Gaba. There was a small, thin, golden plate that was on the very top of the menorah where the fire was, where the wick was, when the coin would be made of the neiros, He would have to push that tas inward to be able to clean out everything that he needed to clean out. And when he put the shemen, he would have to lift it a little bit to be able to get the oil in. The bottom line is, Rav Elazar Tzaddik again is saying that the way that Hatavas HaNeiros was done was with the Neiros attached to the menorah. Clearly, it could not be detached. Thus, it's Rav Elazar Tzaddik, that's the Chachamim that holds that the Neiros were included in the halacha of Miksha. And the Gemara says, by the way, I'll find you another braisa. So the Gemara has many braisas and shitas atanam that seem to have to discuss this shaila, whether the Neiros was included in the Miksha of the menorah or not. What's this final braisa? The Tanya we learned to the braisa, menorah v'neiros sel, bois menakikar. The menorah and its Neiros were included in what the Torah means when it says the menorah has to weigh a kikar. The ein malkocheh umachtoisel min akikar. However, the tools that were used to clean the menorah, that's not included in the kikar. Rav Nechemya says menorah hoisbal min akikar. The menorah was included in kikar. Veloy neroisel umalkocheh umachtoisel bois min akikar. So when the Torah says kikar, what part of the menorah is it referring to? It's a machloikis tanam. The Tanakhama says it's referring to the menorah and the neros. It just is not including the tools, but the menorah itself, even the neiros, are included in what the Torah means when it says kikar, and what the Torah means when it says miksha. Nechemiah says, no, it's only the menorah itself, not malkochel, machtosel, also not neiroisel. Maikomifli, what's the machlikis b'haikra? The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, the pasuk says regarding the menorah, kikar zahav, tahar, yasa oisa, es kol ha-kelem ho'ela. That's the pasuk in its entirety. Kikar zahav, tahar, yasa oisa, lamadnu, the menorah shabam, and a kikar. We learn from here that the menorah has to be a kikar. Renai, the rabbi's name is said, how do you know the neiros are included in that? Talmud loimar, es kol ha-kelem ho'ela. Kikar zahav tahar yasa oisa. Then it says it's kolakot kelim oela. It's coming to include something. It's coming to be marba neiros. Yochashani marba av malkecha machtoseh. I would think to be marba the tools that we use to clean the menorah as well. Talmud loymar oisa. Kikar zahav tahar yasa oisa. So although you have as kolak kelim oela, that's being marba. You also have oisa. That's being memait divrei Rav Nechemya. Fake the Gemara. Divrei Rav Nechemya. Rav Nechemya was the one that said that it was only the menorah that was bamin akikar, not the neiros, not the malkochel or machtoisel. Here we have divrei Rav Nechemya that's marba the neiros from his kol kelim eila. He's only memait the tools from oisa. So it's a steer in Rav Nechemya. Kash Rav Nechemya. Rav Nechemya says the Gemara. Trei tanoi v'alibid Rav Nechemya. It's true. You have a blatant steer between two Rav Nechemyas. Must be two tanom was saying over what they had heard from Nechemya. Each one had heard something else. Regardless, it's not a steer. Says, the menorah was kikor. He's the other shita. He holds that the neiros were not included in kikor. Well, mani mekayim is kol akel ma'ela. Doesn't it say it's kol akel ma'ela, which Rav Nechemya said is coming to be marba the neiros? It is coming to be marba the neiros, but not with regards to the halach of miksha, not with regards to the halach of kikor, but rather something else. Shahayu kelim shal zahav. It's coming to say that the neiros also had to be made out of gold, says the Gemara. Zav the hedyuk sevei. I don't need a ribui to tell me that the neiros have to be made out of gold. There is no debate that the neiros had to be gold. What we're debating in this sugya is whether the neiros are included in miksha, whether they're included in kikar, but gold? It's a pasik. Vasisa es neiroisel shiva, vehelos neiroisel, veheir al ever ponel, umalkoichel, umachtesel, zohav tar. Even the malkoichel, machtesel, everything had to be gold. So why do I need a ribui to tell me that it had to be gold? The Gemara says, like, nitzrucha. It's referring to the P, the very, very top of the Nair, where the wick meets the gold of the menorah. So good, I would have thought, being that that part of the menorah is going to get black from the smoke of the menorah. So you would think, because you're going to have to continuously replace it. So maybe that spitz of the menorah, that part, maybe doesn't have to be zahav tar, meaning v'lavid zahav koldahu. Maybe just make it even an inferior quality of gold. Doesn't have to be that best type of gold. Kamash malon. The bottom line is, what do we take out of this braisa? Again, another braisa with the tanoim. We're arguing whether or not the neiros of the menorah were included in kikar, whether the neiros of the menorah were included in miksha. Bottom line is, Rav Sheshes began this morning's daf with a memra where Rav Sheshes said that the neiros of the menorah were attached to the menorah, but at the same time they were flexible. So that when the kohen did atavas haneiros, he was able to remove it. The Gemara said, what? The neiros were attached. There's a braisa that says that the way the kohen was made of the neiros, he would physically remove the arms of the menorah and clean it. Not that it was attached but flexible. So what the Gemara did was, the Gemara showed Braisa after Braisa after Braisa, Machlekes Tanam after Machlekes Tanam. There really was a debate amongst the Tanam, and all Rav Sheshes was really doing was being Machriya amongst the Tanam. Either way, so the Mishnah was discussing the different Shiurim as it relates to the Midos that were in the Mikdash. So the Mishnah had said that one of the Midos was a Revius, which we now know means a Revius Haloik. And the purpose of the midah that was the Revius Haloik was it was used to measure the water that was needed for the Tahiris HaMetzorah and the Shemen that was needed for the Chalois Nazir that the Nazir brought together with his Karban Shlamim when he completed his Naziros. What was the purpose of the measurement that was the Chatziloik? So the Mishnah said the purpose of that was for the Mayim L'Soita. Additionally, for the chatzi loig shemen l'toida, for the carbon toida required a chatzi loig of shemen. Now, the truth is that most menachos, the Mishnah itself continued and said, required a loig of shemen. So by saying that the carbon toida's chalos required a chatzi loig, it's a little bit of a chiddush, because it makes it different than most menachos. Most menachos, how much oil, it's a loig of oil. The toida required only a chatzi loig. And the Gemara is going to elaborate on this. Tanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ma Talmud lo Omer, Bashemen, Bashemen, Shnei Pamim. Now Rabbi Akiva was referring to a pasuk in Parshas Tzav that discusses the carbon toida, the pasuk in its entirety. Im al toida yakrivenu, if a person is bringing a carbon toida, v'hikrav al zavach ha-toida, chalois, matzois, belulois, bashemen, urikike matzois, meshuchim, bashemen, v'soiles, murbeches, chalois, belulois, bashemen. So we know that the carbon toida was made up of four types of breads, 10 of each, thus there were 40 chalois. 10 were chametz, 30 were matzah, meaning one min was chametz, three minim were matzah. What were the three minim? So you had chalois, you had rikikim, and then you had the revucha. Now, when the Torah describes each one of the three minim of matzos that the Balak carbon had to bring when he brought the carbon taida, so the Torah says he had to bring chalois matzos belulois bashemen, urikike matzos meshuchim bashemen, v'soilas murbechas chalois belulois bashemen. The Torah says that each one of these minim had to come together with oil. And that was Rabbi Akiva's kasha. Rabbi Akiva said, Ma Talmud Lomer Bashemen Bashemen Shnei Pomen. Now the truth is, it doesn't just say Bashemen twice. It says Bashemen three times. All three of the minim of Chalos Toida that were matzah, the Torah says Bashemen, and the Gemara is going to address that later. But for now, Rabbi Akiva's concern is the first two. Says Rabbi Akiva, Ula, Yinam Adel Bashemen Echad, I had said Bashemen once, you see, I would have thought, Hareyu Kechala Menachos. I would have thought that the amount of oil needed for the Chalos Toida is the same as the amount of oil that's needed for all Menachos, which is a loig. Achshav shekasa b'shemen b'shemen. Now the Torah says the word b'shemen twice. Havi riboy achar riboy. Vein riboy achar riboy. Elo lemayed. So essentially, the Torah is being marba shemen, but not once. The Torah is being marba shemen twice. Riboy achar riboy is always a miyot. Miyotei hakasav lechatzi loig. Freik to Gemara. Riboy achar riboy. Chad riboy hu. Why is this a riboy achar riboy? Riboy achar riboy means the Torah was marba, and then the Torah was marba again. Here the Torah wasn't marba twice. The Torah was only marba once. Once the Torah said Shemen, you need that. And then the Torah has a second Bashemen, which is a Riboy. So, Riboy, Acha Riboy is a Miot. If there's two Riboyim, here you only have one Riboy. So how do you make one Riboy a Miot? It's two Riboyim that are a Miot. So Rabbi Akiva explains, what would have been said Rabbi Shimon had said Rav Akiva, regarding the Shemen, not Rav Shemen, said, what would have been the halacha? I would have thought that it's like a regular mincha and it requires like Akshem, Bashemen, Bashemen. In other words, both Bashemens are actually. You don't have to say the word Bashemen at all. Because without Bashemen, I would know it's a mincha. Every mincha needs Shemen. How much Shemen alike? So it comes out that both Bashemens are ribuyim. Have a ribuy acha ribuy, then ribuy acha ribuy, elo lemayit, miyatei hakasav lechatzi loik. Says the Gemara, vayitei yochel yechatzi loik zemes chalik l'shalishas minim. I would have thought, if there's a halacha of chatzi loik, and there's three minim, so take the chatzi loik, and now divide it equally amongst the three minim. Lechalois ulerikikim ulervicha. Says the Gemara, kishuoyme b'shemen b'revicha. The Torah says the word b'shemen third time. Tzim dritinu. She'en tamud loimar. Why do I need it a third time? Right, the first part of Rabbi Akiva, he explained the first two bashemens. Both bashemens are extra, ribo yachar ribo lemait, that it's not a loik like all menachos, it's only a chatzi loik. But what do I need the next bashemen for? Oh, it's coming to teach me, hakeitzad, that there's a disproportionate amount of shemen that was used for that third min of chalos toida mentioned in the Gemara. Maybe chatzi loik shemen, you take a chatzi loik, v'choytzeo, What do you get if you divide a chatziloi? You get two revi'iyos. Chetzioi l'chalos l'rikikin. You're going to use a revi'iyos for the chalos and the rikikin. The chetzioi l'rikikin. So the reason the Torah mentioned again b'shemen with regards to the revi'iyos is to tell me that there's a disproportionate amount of shemen that's going to be used for them. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah heard Rabbi Akiva shtikel Torah, which essentially was the source to the halacha of the Mishnah that says that although all menachos or most menachos had a loik shemen, but the Chalos Toida, which was also a mincha, had a chatzi like shemen. It was based on the fact that the Torah wrote the word bashemen twice extra. It's a ribuy, acha ribuy, elamayit. Instead of a loik shemen, it's a chatzi loik shemen. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah told Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, in at the marba kolayim kule bashemen bashemen. You could bring bashemens all day. Einin shemei lecha. This is not the makar. We have to explain why the Torah wrote bashemen three times, but that's not the makar. What is the makar? Alechatzi loik shemen l'toid, uruvii shemen l'nazer. The echad also yoim shebei nida l'nida, the halach of shemeris yoim kiyakid yoim, which is that 11-day period, halach of l'moishe mizinai, has nothing to do with the words bashemen, 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 but rather it's based on a halach of l'moishe mizinai. So the Mishnah said, continued, and the Mishnah said, ubeloi koyim moidei l'chal menachos. All menachos, or almost all menachos, required how much oil alike. And then the Mishnah said a chiddush. That let's say somebody brings a mincha that has many isroinos. The halach is for each isroin, you have to have a like. But not just that, the way you measure the oil is like by like. So the Mishnah's example was, if you had a really, really big mincha, it was made up of 60 isroinos of soilas. So you can't take this huge medida, measure 60 isroinos, 60 lugan of oil, and mix it. No, you have to do it like by loig, by loig. The point was, ubeloig hoyemoydeit l'chol ha-menachis. Afilu mincha shal samech yisaroin, noisim lo samech loig. And then the Mishnah brought Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. This is Mishnah Seish Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, which is Kavanaki. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said, no. Afilu mincha shal samech yisaroin, ein lo elo luga. That the halacha is, you never have more than one loig for a mincha. So it's not that you have a loig of shemen for every isarin of soilus that you have, but rather the way it works is that for every mincha, all you have is one loig. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, b'mitzoyra ani ksiv, regarding the mitzoyra of the ani, the pasuk says, isarin balul v'loig. So the halacha is that a mitzoyra, when he brought his karbonos, when he came to be mitar himself, he was able to elect the type of carbon to bring based on what his financial status was. So one of the carbonos, oyla v'yoyre, that the Torah talks about is the carbonos of the mitzayra. The Torah says that if the mitzayra could afford it, he would bring three behemoths. If the mitzayra couldn't afford it, then all he would bring was one behemoth. The Torah says, v'im dalhu, v'im yodim ha-seges, v'loka keves echad asham, he brought one animal as opposed to three. That animal was an asham, l'chaper olav, v'isorin soiles echad bolul bashemen, and together with this one animal, he had to bring an isorin of soiles that was mixed together with oil, l'mincha, that was the mincha, v'loik shaman, and there was a loik shaman. Now, Pashup Shan in this pasuk is very straightforward. The Mitzayra is bringing one keves. Together with this one keves, he's bringing one isaroin of soilus. That's bolul bashemen. It's going to be a loig of shemen, like all menachas. That's going to be the mincha that's going to come along together with his keves. Then he's going to bring a loig shemen, because we know that the shemen, and specifically a loig shemen, was a very important part of the Tyrus HaMitzayra. Stating that, the Gemara feels that there's a lot of extra words in this pasuk, although at first glance there isn't, but the Gemara is going to darshan based on Yud Gimel Midah Shatar and Adreshes Behem some very important fundamental menachas halachas from what at first glance seems to be a very innocent pasuk. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan b'mitzayra ani ksivi yisarin balul v'loig. Li made we learn from here al yisarin shata'un loig, that every single yisarin that a person brought together with his mincha required a loig. Yisarin balul b'loig teaches me that every Yisarin needs a loik. And again, it's not Pashup Shana the Pasik. Pashup Shana the Pasik is V'Yisarin Soilus Echo Bolu Bashem of the Mincha. Kama, or period. V'Loik Shaman. The Loik Shaman is a whole separate thing. It's not even part of the Mincha. That's the Loik Shaman that's going to go on the Bahinois of the Mitzayra. It's a completely independent part of the Tyrus of Mitzayra. But with somehow marrying the word Yisarin, with skipping five words to the word loik, to teach me every sar needs a loik. Divri chachamim. Nechemi Rabbi Lazar Omer, Mafilu mincha shal shishim esroinim el el loik. They learn, no, just the opposite. That if you're bringing a mincha, it doesn't matter how big the mincha is, all you have is one loik. And how do you know that? From the same pasuk. Shenemar le mincha
the Loik Shaman. Every mincha has only one Loik Shaman. Again, in the Pasuk, mincha and Loik Shaman don't come together. It's the mincha, period, the Loik Shaman. But somehow, the Tanam put it together, and that's how they had this halach. What did they do with the Chachamim's drasha? That's coming to teach me Pashit, that the Metzora had to bring a mincha that had in it Shemen. The Rebbe Eliezer and the Chacham say, no, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that the Metzora had to bring a mincha that was made up of one in Sar. Why? Because being that the Metzora Asher brings Gimel Karbanos, and together with this Gimel Karbanos, the Torah says he brings Gimel Esrainos, three Esrainos, Hacha, the Chad Karban. Hear that this Metzora Ani is bringing only one carbon, Chad Yisarin, so it makes sense that he should only bring one Yisarin. So why do I need a pasuk to tell me that he brings an Isarin? Must be it's extra to teach me not a halacha regarding the mincha that the Metzora Ani brought, but rather a halacha that teaches me more generally regarding all minachas. Idach itzrach. So good, I mean, I would have thought, no. Hayol v'chas rachman ol v'lasu ibedalos. But Rabbi Eliezer and Nechemiah say that it's not true, because being that you find that the Torah altered, the Torah changed the nature of the carbon that the Metzora brings when he's an Ani versus what he brings when he's an Asher, so I would have thought, maybe he doesn't have a mincha either. So that's why the Torah had to tell me, he brings an Isar, you can't darshan anything from there. The Idach, what did the Chachamim say? No, legamer le'yashkechan. You find in Oyle v'yoyreid that the amount could change, but to tell me that the Asher has to bring a mincha and the Ani doesn't have to bring a mincha at all, that you don't find. V'rabbanon, hay l'mincha v'loik shemen my avdile. What did the Rabbanon do with the drash of Releza and Reb Nechemiah of the mincha v'loik shemen? It's coming to teach me that if somebody's being menadev a mincha, he can't bring less than the amount of soilus that ordinarily would require a loik. V'idach, what is Reb Lezer and Nechemiah? How do they know this halacha? That the minimal size mincha has to be an isarin? Tarati shamet mino. They learn it also from that pasuk. Somehow in those words of the mincha v'loik shami, you don't just learn one halacha, but you learn two halachas. Regardless, we have a pasuk here talking about the Metzora Ani, which at first glance is just telling me what the Metzora Ani is supposed to bring. Instead of bringing three karbanos, he brings one karban. The karban that he brings is going to be a karban asham. His karban asham is going to have one isarin, meaning the Metzora Asher had three isroinos with his three animals. The Metzora Ani is going to have one isarin. The isarin is going to be balu b'ashemen. That's going to be the mincha. And additionally, there's a like shaman that's part of the Tanis HaMetzora, stating that the Tanam were bothered with some nuances in this pasuk, and it's from this pasuk regarding the Metzora Ani that the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Nechemiah, it's also Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and our Mishnah learned their positions respectively. When somebody brought a karban mincha, if it was one Isarin, there was one loik shaman. That everybody agrees with. What if there were 10 Isroinois? How much shaman was it? Chachamim say for every Isarin, there was a loik shaman. It's learned out from this pasuk. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said in the Mishnah, and it's from Nechemiah here in the Brice as well, that no, every mincha, didn't matter how many Yisroinus there were, all there was like shemen. Another halacha that's learned out from this pasuk is that the minimum shir mincha had to be an Yisroin. Either way, the Mishnah said, shisha lapar, arba la'ayil, and shlishis lekeves. So the amount of oil that had to be brought together with a par as part of its mincha was shisha, meaning six lugin, which is a chatzi hin. A hin is made up of 12 lugin. So one of the sheva midos was the chatzi hin. It was used for the mincha that came together with the par. Arba la'ayil. Arba is 4 lugin, which is a third of a hin. That's the shlishis ahin la'ayil. And the shlisha la'keves, that's 3 lugin, which is the revias ahin la'keves yoyin zois oilas chodesh b'chadshe. We all know the pasuk, right? So that's the shlisha. Those are 3, again, of the 7 midos that the Mishnah mentioned. Says the Gemara, me nolan. How do you know all this? The chesiv, because the pasuk says v'niskeim chatzi ahin yelapar. So the par has a chatzi ahin and trace hin trace lugan happy. And we know that a hin is 12 lugan. How do you know that a hin is 12 lugan? The chesiv, because the pasuk says shemen zayis hin. It says shemen zayis hin. V'ksiv shemen mishchas koidesh yezeli. So the shemen zayis measured a hin. And regarding the shemen zayis, it says this is the shemen zayis that Moshe Rabbeinu used to anoint the Kehanim and the Kelim and the Beis HaMikdash, etc. Torah refers to it as Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Yezeh, and Zeh is Begamatria Tracer Havyan. The bottom line is, if the Moshe Rabbeinu Shemen Zayas is Zeh, and Zeh is Begamatria 12, and we know that it was a hin, so it's 12 something into the hin, must be 12 lugan. That's how you know it's 12 lugan in the hin. So when the Mishnah said that the par had how much oil? It had 6 lugan. You know what it's based on? It's based on the pasuk that says, Nischeim Chatzi Ahin Yelapar.
A hin is 12 lugin, thus a chatzi hin must be 6 lugin. So this is one of many Gemaras in Shas, not that many, but there are Gemaras in Shas where the Gemara learns out a halacha from a gematria, just one ha'ara, and that is that perhaps one of the better known halachas that the Gemara learns from a gematria is the halacha that stam nezirus is lamed yoyim. So stam nezirus is shloishim yoyim. And how do you know that? So the Gemara Masechtas Nazir Daf Hei Aleph brings a machlokes between Rav Masna and Bar Poda. Rav Masna said, "Amakra kadosh yeh," regarding the nazir, and yeh is bigamatria talsan havabar. Pada says it's connected to 30 times that it says in the Torah the word Nazir. It's really only 29 times, and that's a classic Gemara right in the beginning of Masechtas Nazir. But Master said, how do you know Stam Nazir Sashleishim Yoyim? It's because it says Kodesh Yeh, and the word Yeh is Begematria 30. If you take a look at the Rosh, in his Pirush Rosh on the Daf in Masechtas Nazir, says the Rosh, Yeh Begematria Talsin Hava, Yira, the Gemara Gemirila, it must have been a Masaira, Vas Mechua Ahach Gematria. Just, they were masmechin on this gematria. And the reason is because gematria is lav miyud gimel midash artair nidrash aspem. You can't learn a halacha from a gematria. It must be there was a messiah that stam nazirus and shloishim yoyim. Rav Masna just said, you want to find a remez in the Torah, I have a remez for you. The word yeh is begematria 30. Thus, everything is merumez in the Torah. Feichba ba feichba de kulaba. But it's not really much more than that, says the Rosh. You can't tell me it's a makar. Rav Masna sat down and he said, aha, yeh is begematria 30. Thus, we have a makar to stam nazirus lamid yoyim. So that in this Gemara as well, you can't tell me that there's a makar that 12 lugin is somehow in the hin. It's an asmachta ba'alma. I thought it was interesting because I think that the person more than anyone else that really introduced gematria into the mainstream was the Baal HaTurim. Right? The Baal HaTurim has many, many gematrias. Every page in Baal HaTurim, there's different ramazim that are based on gematrias. The Baal HaTurim was the Rosh's son, right? Rabbi Yaakov ben Rabbi Asher. The Torah always brings Adoni Yavi Harosh. So it's interesting that the Rosh writes in Masechtas Nazir Daf Hei Amud Aleph that gematria, even though Gemara is called gematrias, all it is a remez ba'alma. You can't really learn much from the gematria. I said, was the Rosh's son, Rabbeinu Yaakov, the Torah, that probably mainstream gematria more than anyone else. Either way, so the Mishnah had said that the menorah, every single night, required 3.5 lugin of oil. What's the methodology? Because there were 7 neiros, and each ner had a chatzi lug of shem. It says, it says, so the halacha is that the koyim, when he lit the menorah, so he had a light of me'erev ad boiker. We learn from there that me'erev ad boiker isn't just the amount of time that the menorah had to be lit, but it's also the sheer of how much oil there had to be. Teima midasa, shetehe doylekes vohi leches, me'erev ad boiker. There should be enough oil that will allow it to light me'erev v'ad boiker. Dovar racha, we'll see that, what that means in a moment. Another psha, me'erev ad boiker, in l'chaboy d'shikshir, me'erev ad boiker, el azubavad, that there's no avoida that's kosher, me'erev ad boiker, other than lighting the menorah. We'll see what that means in a minute. V'shiru chachamim. So going back to the first pshat in the Braisa, says the Gemara, the first pshat was, how much oil? Tein la midasa. What's the midah? Shetehe doylekes vehoyleches me'erev ad boiker. So how much is that? It's chatziluk me'urtav ad safra. It's a chatziluk. Rashi explains, Rashi says in a chumash, we all know this, is that the chachamim took the longest night of the year, which are the lele tevos. And in the lele tevos, how much oil would you need for the oil to be able to burn and not extinguish during the night? Literally, me'erev ad boiker, it's a chatzi log, and it's based on that we have a chatzi log. So every single night there was a chatzi log, even though really you only needed the chatzi log during the lele tevos. So freik toisvis, what then happened on a regular night? So let's say it's not Teves, it's Tammuz. It's one of the shorter nights of the year. So what's going to happen on a short night? You're putting in all this oil. The kain's going to come the next morning to be made of the Neiris. Isn't there going to be leftover oil? So Tosfos says what they would do is they would make the wicks a little bit thicker. They use psilis gasois. So being that the wicks were a little bit thicker or thinner, I should, depending on the nights, they somehow manipulated it to make sure that it would only go be Me'erev ad boiker. But you couldn't manipulate the amount of oil that was going to be used. The amount of oil, that's the halacha, tein la midasa, Me'erev ad boiker. You find the longest night of the year, and that's how much oil you had to have. That's one pshat in the Gemara. The other pshat in the Gemara is, in l'cha avoida, shekshera me'erev ad boiker elazim. Now, Pasha, it sounds like what the Gemara is saying is that the kohen would light the menorah at night, and the only
Avoida that was kosher by Laila was Adlakas Amenor. Freik Toysa Kasha. Is that true? Is that true? Tzorich liyashiv, says Toysus, Aktoras Eivorim, Vetrumas Hadeshin. There were two Avoidas that were done at night. The Aktoras Eivorim, that's Kenegan, my Riv is Kenegan the Aktor. That, of course, we know was kosher by Laila and Trumas Hadeshin. That was done first thing in the morning, but before it really became morning, which means it was done at the end of the night. So I have two avoidas that walk shera may erev vad boiker. So Taisa says a doichik. Taisa says regarding the haktoras emurim that you have to say that it's true that it was kosher balayla, but it was also kosher bayoy, as opposed to the hadlakas hamenor that had to be done at night. But the bottom line is, it sounds like from Taisa's, when would the kohen light the menorah? He would light by shkiyas hachamer right at the beginning of the night. That's when he would light the menorah. Rashi Masechtas Yuma Daf Tezvav and Aleph says a whole different shot in the Gemara. Rashi says that when the Gemara says ein l'chavoda shekshera me'erev ad boiker ela zubavad, means that really the hadlakas hamenor was done during the day, and there was no avoda that was allowed to be done during the day until the next morning. After the hadlakas hamenor, aktaras emurim is not an avodas yoyim. That's an avodas laila. Hadlakas hamenor, which was an avodas yoyim, was the last avodas yoyim that was able to be done ad boiker. The fact that you could do aktara, that's an avodah that's kosher balayla. We're talking about avodas that are not kosher balayla. Such an avodah, the last avodah that could be done during the day, was hadlakas hamenor. So just like this halach of Allah hashem kol hakarbanos, the tumah ben abayim was the last carbon that was brought during the day. So too, the last avodah that was done during the day was a menor. But it comes out, at first glance, this seems to be a very fundamental machlokes. When did the kohen light the menorah? Did he light the menorah at night? Did he light it during the day? It seems to be based on how to understand this gemara of ein l'chavoda shekshir me'erev ad boik elazu. Toisvis and menachas daf peites and menalev says the hadlakas menorah was done at night. Rashi and Yuma daf tezvav and menalev says that the hadlakas menorah was done during the day. If you look at the mafarshi achumish, Evan Ezra, the Ramban, the mafarshi achumish already debate this. Regardless, it seems to be a little bit unclear. Me'erev ad boiker, is it before erev, the last avoda, or is it no, ready after Shkia Sachama? Regardless, so the halacha is how much oil. The amount of oil is a chatzi loik, and it's based on the first pshat in this brisa. Me'erev ad boiker tein la midasa shetei doylechas vaylechas me'erev ad boiker. So the Gemara says something interesting. The Gemara says, how did they figure out the amount of oil that's needed? Ikadami, some say milmala lamata shiru. What they did was ve'ikadami mimata lamata shiru. But they says so machloik is whether the first time they lit the menorah and they had to figure out how long it's going to take for the oil to burn. So that they start off with a little bit of oil, and they saw that it only went till 3 o'clock in the morning. So they knew for next time they would have to add, and then it went till 4 o'clock, and then after 5. Finally, they were able to figure out how much oil they need. Or maybe it was just the opposite. They started off with a very large share, and they saw they had leftover oil. So the next day, they did a little bit less, and the next day, they did a little less. So this is hashtag rest of the story. How did the Chachamim figure out how much oil needed to be done? So some said that they started low. They went mamata lamaylo. And some said they went mamata lamaylo. What's the nafkimino? It says, remando, mamata lamaylo, shira atayro, chosa, mamayna, mishal Yisrael. It's based on this principle that keeps on repeating itself. Hatayro, chosa, amamayna, mishal Yisrael. So we're not going to just go out and throw away oil. So start low, because we don't want to waste oil. It says that it went mamata lamaylo. It's just the opposite. It's true there's an idea of this is the base of Mikdash. We're going to act as if we're so sensitive over a little bit of oil. That's anius. Ein anius, but makom hashiras. This is the base of Mikdash. So it's interesting. We've had so many times just recently, and now all of a sudden the Gemara just introduced an idea that would seem to be the diametric opposite, which is ein anius b'makom hashiras. And you see that they're opposed, because the Gemara says, if you hold hatayru chasam u'menu shal Yisrael, you're going to go mimata l'maylo. And if you hold ein anius b'makom hashiras, you don't want to show sensitivity to a little bit of oil, say you go with a braid kite, then you go milmaila lamata. So every time you have a Torah chasam u'menu shal Yisrael, why don't you say ein anius b'makom hashiras? Or any time you have ein anius b'makom hashiras, why don't you say hatayru chasam u'menu shal Yisrael? So there's a tshuva from the Maid of Yehuda with the Tshuva Me'ahava asked the Dinayi of Yehuda this question, and they were mafalful back and forth with Cheshbonis, but that's not for this morning. Regardless, just one ha'ara before we start the next Mishnah. And that is, so how much oil had to be inside the menorah? Each lamp had to have a chatzi loik. What's it based on? It's based on the pasuk that says me'erev ad boiker. Tein la midasa shetei doylechas veylechas me'erev ad boiker. You take the longest night of the year. What's the longest night of the year? The lele teves. The lele teves. You need a chatzi loik. Chasam Sofer in his Teiras Moshe in Parshas Tetzaveh says, we're all familiar with the Ner Maravi. The Ner Maravi was doylek the entire night. Says the Chassam Sofer, I think that from this Gemara right here, Menachas Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph, and the Ner Maravi, which the Gemara discussed earlier, Menachas Pei Vav Amud Beis, and it's also in Shabbos Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, perhaps we could find a makar to what the Gemara says in Bava Kama, Daf Tes, Bava Kama, that Hidr Mitzvah is Ad Shlish. So we know that Halacha is Zek Keli Vanvei. We learn from there a concept of Hidr Mitzvah. So let's say you have an asterisk, and then there's an asterisk that's mehudar. So, obviously, there's an idea to take the asterisk that's mehudar. How much more do you have to pay for the asterisk that's mehudar versus the ordinary asterisk, or any mitzvah? How much is a person supposed to overpay for hidr mitzvah? So when it comes to, for example, hamavazvez al yavazvez yoyis amichaymesh, that's with regards to how much of your net worth are you supposed to spend for mitzvahs. You're not mechuyev to be left with no money because you did a mitzvah. So al yavazvez, it's even an isser, yoyis amichaymesh, this is something else. This is a question where I have two mitzvahs in front of me. One is more mehudah than the other. I'm willing to overpay for hidr mitzvah. The question is, how much should I overpay? So the halacha is hidr mitzvah ad shlish. You go up until a third. A third more, that's how much you can pay. Says the Chassam Sofer, I think I have a makar. Because the Gemara says how much oil was put into the menorah every night. It was a chatzi loy, kalele tevis. Says the Chassam Sofer, the longest night of the year is 16 hours. That's the lele tevis. The ner maravi lit for how long? 24 hours. Says the Chassam Sofer, 24 is a shlish more than 16 if you go milavar. Because if you go milavar, one lit for 16, the other lit for 24, the difference is 8. 8 represents one third of the total amount. It's a shlish milavar. The ner maravi was the hidr mitzvah of the menorah. So how much oil was there for 16 hours? How long did the ner maravi lie? 24 hours. Says the Chassam Sofer, I think that this is a makar nifla to what Chazal said in Bava Kama Daf Tes, that hidr mitzvah is at shlish. But says the Chassam Sofer, it only works if you go shlish milavar. No. It's a problem because the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Tes clears the shaili ibayiluhu shlish milavar or shlish milagav salach lemaisa. You have to know. But says the Gemara over there blibes with a teiku. So says the Chassam Sofer that although the Gemara over there wasn't sure, but at the end of the day the Gemara says teiku. I mean that the Gemara says teiku misafik. You'd have to go with the higher number. The higher number is the milavar. It's not mitilagav. So says the Chassam Sofer that at the end of the day it works out because lemaskana it's a teiku. Teiku means that the way we are machriya the halacha is we go lechumra and it's a shlish milavar. Works out very nicely with the Nehemiah Ravi. There was oil for 16 hours and ended up burning a shlish milavar, which is 24 hours. But the truth is that last line in the Chassam Sofer is really not so pasha. So we're not learning the hasugis of hidr mitzvah, we're not learning perek arbavas and zikin now, bava kama daf tes. But really, it's a shailon the rishonim whether misafik you go lechumra with hidr mitzvah or misafik you go lekula. And it's based on zek keli vanveyo. Is it a mitzvah's essay da'iraisa? Or is it only a mitzvah's essay to Rabbanu Rashi and Tosfos in the beginning of Perek Lulav HaGazel, the Emech Bracha, the Advarim Atikin, the Ein Kama Koymai? But here you have a Geshmak and Avgivin al Halacha. Is Hidr Mitzvah, Zek Kelim Aveo, is it a Dindai Raisa? Or is it a Dindai Rabbanu? If it's a Dindai Raisa, then the Yiboyah Delay, if Shetan, Bava Kamad of Tesla, the Bezos, the Savik Dai Raisa, which you're going to go to Chum, it's going to have to be a Shush Mulavah. But if Zek Kelim Aveo is only mitzvah to Rabbanon, then it's an Yiboyah Delay, if Shetan, the Savik Dai Raisa, where you go to Kula, then it's going to be a Shlish Milagav. So the Chassam Sofer just throws in Derech Agav, it stims very nicely. Nicely with the maskaras like a mara, it's not so posh. Ein sham berash, it's a big discussion in the Rishonim whether la halacha we're machriya that gemara as a suffix deraisa or machriya that gemara as a suffix drabon. Zok the Mishnah vayta ma'arvin nischei parim be nischei elim. So we saw that different, although the standard mincha had a loik shemen, but there were different menachas that had different shiurim. So for example, the par had a chatzi ahin, which is 6 lugin. The ayil had a shlish ahin, which is 4 lugin. The keves had a revias ahin, which is 3 lugin. Says the Mishnah, how about in terms of esroides? How about the amount of soilus? So the par, which had 6 lugin of shemen, had 3 esroides of soilus. The ayil, which had 4 lugin of shemen, had 2 esroides of soilus. The keves that had 3 lugin of shemed had 1 isarin of soilus. If you look at it from a ratio, from a proportion perspective, the par had 6 lugin to 3 isarinus. It was a 2-to-1 ratio of oil to soilus. The ayil, which had 4 lugin and 2 isarinus, it too was at the same ratio, 2-to-1. The keves, which had 3 lugin and 1 isarin, that was at a 3-to-1 ratio. And that matters
for this next halacha. Ma'arvin niskei parim b'niskei elim. You're allowed to be ma'ariv the nisachim of the parim with the nisachim of the elim. So pashut, we'll see in the Gemara that it's really not so pashut, but at first glance, if you're learning Mishnayos, for sure, what the Mishnah is referring to is if you have a mincha, so you have the soilus belulah b'shemen of the par, which is six lugin to three asrinas of soilus, and then you have soilus belulah b'shemen of an aisle, which is four to two, you're allowed to be ma'ariv the two with each other. And the reason is because proportionately, the amount of oil and the amount of soilus are the same for the par and the aisle. Nischei kvasim and nischei kvasim. Additionally, you're allowed to take one minchas nesachim of a keves with another minchas nesachim of a keves, because they're both 3-to-1 ratio, and you're allowed to be married. Kvasim shal yachid and shal tzibur. That's also not a problem. Shal yoyim and shal emesh. Today's and yesterday's is also not a problem. You can be married. Abel ei ma'arv nischei kvasim and nischei parim ve'elam. But you can't be ma'arv the nesachim of the kvasim together with the nesachim of the parim and the elam. Ve'im balul an elu bifnei atzman, ve'elu bifnei atzman, v'nis arvu ksheir. If, however, each one was mished in independently, and then they got mixed up together, that's no worries. I'm actually balal, but if they got mixed up, meaning before you were balal, the soilus and the shemen of the par, and the soilus and shemen of the keves, then they got mixed up, then even b'di'evid, it's going to be possible. And then the Mishnah says, the keves that came together with the oimer, even though the mincha was double, we'll see about that in tomorrow's stuff. So regardless, what the Mishnah said is, what happens if two menaches got mixed up? That's essentially the question. You have soilus blul b'shemen, you have soilus blul b'shemen, then it got mixed up. So if the soilus wasn't blul b'shemen yet, then everything got mixed up, so that's a little more complicated. That's not what we're going to discuss right now. We're discussing when you already had the soilus blul b'shemen of the par, the soilus blul b'shemen of the aisle, the soilus blul b'shemen of the keves. So if it's the par and the aisle that got mixed up, it's not a problem. Because even though one has six lugin to three esrinas, one has four lugin to two esrinas, but proportionally it's the same ratio. It's both 2-to-1. So the fact that it got mixed up doesn't bother me. If, however, the par got mixed up with the keves, or the aisle with the keves, then it's going to be a problem. Because one is on a 2-to-1 ratio, the other one is at a 3-to-1 ratio. But regardless, as long as the ratio is consistent, I don't care. Keves, keves, par, par, aisle, aisle. Even par, aisle is also going to be fine. Rimin, I'll ask you a kash of iktira. It says regarding the mitzvah, ktaras chalavim, shlo ya'arev chalavim b'chalavim. They are not allowed to be ma'arev chalavim b'chalavim. So the kohen wasn't allowed to take two chalavim of different karbanis and put them on the mizbeach at the same time. It says ve'ktiroi. It could have said ve'hikter. And we learn from there that it has to be one at a time. What's the kasha? So how are you allowed to take two menachas that got mixed up with each other and put them together on the mizbeach? Rabbi Yochanan says, im nisarvu koi. The Mishnah never said you could do it l'katchila. All the Mishnah meant was you could do it b'di'evet. The Gemara says, ihachi, you can't read the Mishnah that way. Why? Because the Mishnah said, ei ma'arv nischei kvasim v'nischei parim ve'elam. V'afilu nisarvu nami lovi. Midik tani seve min. That the seve says, bol elu b'fnei yatsum, elu b'fnei yatsum, v'nisarvu k'sherim. That b'di'evet, the halacha is, it doesn't matter what the taruvos was, it's kosher. Michal the reisha l'katchila kamar. So what do you see from there? That the reisha is discussing, because the Mishnah is distinguishing between a taruvos where the proportion of shemen and soilus is the same versus a taruvos where the proportion of the soilus and the shemen is different. Where they're different, you're not allowed to be ma'arav it, but b'di'evet, it's okay. When they're the same, obviously, it's even l'katchila okay. Because if you're going to tell me that when it's the same, it's only b'di'evet okay, then what's the difference if the ratio is the same and the ratio is different? The Mishnah said clearly that when the ratio is different, it's b'di'evet okay. Must be that when the ratio is the same, it's even l'katchila okay. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say, im nis'arvu koi, that you're right. You're never allowed to put two karbanos on the mizbeach at the same time. You can't even take the chalavim of two animals and put them on the mizbeach at the same time. You certainly can't take a taruvos of different menachas and put them on the mizbeach at the same time. And when the Mishnah says you could do it, it meant to be, yeah, it's not true. Because the Mishnah is distinguishing between ratios, and the Mishnah says everything is kosher b'di'evet. Must mean when the ratio is the same, it's even kosher l'katchila. Amar Abayas, Abayas said, you're right. You have to say a whole different shana of the Mishnah. Hachi karma. When the Mishnah says it was a taruvos, it's not what we thought. We thought the taruvos was that the menachos got mixed up. That's not what got mixed up. The yayin got mixed up. It's the wine that came together with the minchas hazachin. Hachi karma. Ma'arvin yeinon. Im nisarev. Saltim v'shamnon. V'yeinon. Look, what it means is the wine of the animals that whose mincha have the same ratio, you're allowed to be ma'arev l'katchila. But to be ma'arev, the mincha itself, l'katchila, that's not something that you're ever allowed to do. So, Amar Abaye, hachi kama, ma'arvin yeinam. In this, Arvin Sultan, v'shein, shamnan, v'yeinam l'katchila. But the Gemara says, that's true. The yayin, you're telling me, that means sometimes you can't be ma'arev l'katchila. When? If the ratios are different. So, the yayin of a par and the yayin of a keves, you can't be ma'ar of the katchila. Right? Abaye just flipped the mishnah. We're not discussing the mincha, we're discussing the wine. Vatanya, but there's a brayse that says medvar mamur misayil v'shem. Then avo yayin ma'ar, and you're always allowed to be ma'ar of the yayin. So again, the mishnah can't be talking about yayin. Alamar Abaye, Abaye tweaked it. Hachi kamar heicha the hukter sultan v'shamnon. If you already makter the mincha ma'ar v'yayin lekatchila, then you're allowed to be ma'ar of the yayin lekatchila. There's no issue being ma'ar of yayin. That's what the brayse means when it says you could always be ma'ar of yayin lekatchila. That's when you already makter the mincha. Heicha the loy hukter. But in a case when you were makter, there the halachas of mitzar of sultan v'sham the ma'ar v'nami yainam. If the taruves happened already, then you can be ma'arv the yayin. Then lav ain ma'arvin, but if not, you can't. Doma asil la ruve soilos v'shem lekatchila. And the reason you wouldn't be able to be ma'arv the yayin, it's a gzera that you may come to be ma'arv the soilos and the shem. So again, the Mishnah is never saying that you're allowed to go lekatchila and take two menachas, be ma'arv them together, put it on the mizbeach. You can't even take two chalavim on the mizbeach together. You're certainly not allowed to do that. That's off limits. That's a haktara, and an haktara you can has to be the hektiroi. It has to be the vasachas. What is the Mishnah talking about? It's talking about the wine. Okay, but at the same time, we have to clarify that if the soilus and the shemen were already hooked around the mizbeach, you can do whatever you want with the wine. You can be ma'ariv it. It doesn't matter what kind of minchas they come from. Everything is going to be okay. When the Mishnah is distinguishing between the wine of different menachas, it's talking about where it wasn't hooked there yet. So there's a halacha, the wine that comes from two menachas whose soilus and shemen is of the same ratio, likatchilo you're allowed to be ma'ariv. The wine that comes from two menachas whose ratio is different, there the halacha is likatchilo you cannot be ma'ariv. What do you think?
Go for it.
I will pick it up tomorrow.